All right. How about that? All right. It was green when it went in the pocket. It must be hitting something in there that didn't. Okay. You know what we're going to do today? We're coming out of the headset. And guys, if you don't mind, if you'll just turn on the pulpit mic. Look here, I'm going to take the coat off now. I'm getting serious. We're just going to put this here. It must be having some type of a short, and I'll just sit it here. That's all right. I'll be all right. I'll just stay here behind the pulpit today. You'll be able to track me just fine, Brent. He gives a thumbs up for that. Let me re-robe, and we'll stay right here for our lesson today. And I won't be moving around as much, so you'll be able to follow, and maybe it won't be too much traffic this way. I'm glad to see you here, though, and so glad for us to be able to spend this time with one another. Thank you so much for the song service, Tommy. Yeah, thinking about those songs, let us all rejoice in thee, the last line of the song before the Bible reading and the prayer, and being able to rejoice in the Lord. What a wonderful blessing that is. And then stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. We've sung about some beautiful things and some beautiful thoughts that go with our lesson this morning. And so I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, open them to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. That'll be the text that we will use this morning for our lesson. And then I want to share a few things with you. And hopefully this lesson will cause us to think and maybe help us in our Christian walk. If we look here at some pictures, I want to share a few pictures with you, and then we're going to read the text. It may be that you're not able to see this, but this was a picture that I took on our last trip to Jeremy, Haiti. And you'll see this beautiful white building here, and there are some words over that. You probably are not able to read them because they're just not quite large enough, but I'm going to tell you what they say. Those words are Palais de Justice, which, if you translate into English from French Creole, is Palace of Justice, and would correspond to our courthouse. So here, you got some folks, you can look, you can see all the motorcycles out there, you can see all of the vehicles. If you could see the picture a little clearer and were more up close with it, you would see that there's an entire group of people standing in the doorway there of the Palace de Justice. And if you could see behind the wall as you are driving on the street beyond it and looking back down, you would see that the courtyard in front of this place of justice is full of people. Completely packed with folks. And so I looked at that and I thought about it. And then I'll show you this picture. This here is the picture of the former church building in Jeremy, which is what was used until just recently when we went in September and they opened their new building. Now, what is interesting about these two pictures, the one that I just showed you a moment ago, the Palace of Justice, oops, too far, and then the church building is this. They are right across the street from each other. On one side of the street, you've got their courthouse. On the other side of the street, you have the church building. On one side of the street, you got a lot of people there. There's a lot of people over there, and a lot of those people are looking for justice. Generally, when you go to a courthouse, what is it that you are going for? Well, in some cases, it may be because you have some type of a complaint. You have a problem, and you feel like that you need justice served in this particular area. And so you go to this courthouse, and you file your complaint, and you talk to those folks that you may need to talk to, and you go before the judge because you want them to find in your favor. You feel justified in what it is that you're doing, and your cause is a righteous cause, and you want justice. You think about the story that Jesus told as he was trying to talk to his disciples about learning how to pray and not to faint. He told them a story about a judge who had been confronted by a woman who wanted him to give her justice, or at least she felt like she had a just cause. And because he didn't consider man and he wasn't that concerned about it, he didn't really give her the answer she wanted to begin with. But she kept on persistently after him. And until the point it came that she nagged him so much, he finally said, I don't regard man, but because you are persistent and are nagging me to death, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you justice there. Of course, the lesson for us is not to forget to pray. And don't lose heart in prayer. Be persistent in our prayer. You know, because you think if this judge who doesn't regard man would fulfill this woman's request, well, certainly our Father in heaven who loves us and cares for us and wants what's best for us, He's going to be there to help us as we pray to Him. And so I think about that palace of justice, but when I think about somebody that's going there for the cause of justice or the cause of righteousness, it infers this idea that that person believes that they are right, correct? I'm right about this, and I want justice to be served. But you know, when I think about this in a spiritual sense, truth is, I don't want justice served. Let's look at our passage of Scripture for today. Romans chapter 3, and reading on, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Now, I said a moment ago, when you look at the palace of justice there in Jeremy, there's a lot of people there looking for justice. But in a spiritual sense, I don't want justice. You know why? Because this passage of Scripture identifies for me that I am a sinner, and that every person that's here this day is a sinner. All of us are sinners. If we go to James chapter 2 and verse 10, the text there tells us that if we have offended God in one point of the law, if we have sinned in one point of the law, we are guilty of what? We are guilty of every bit of it. We are transgressors. Every person that's sitting here today, and every person that lives in this city, and everybody that you're going to run across in the course of your life, or that lives on the face of this earth, is a lawbreaker in a spiritual sense. We've all broken the law. We don't like to be called lawbreakers, do we? But the truth is, we've all transgressed against God's law. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to invite you to turn over to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, I want us to begin in verse 14, and I want you to listen to what Paul is writing here to the Romans. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now, what is the Apostle Paul writing, and what is the Apostle Paul saying here in this particular passage of Scripture? He's saying, you know what? I make mistakes. I commit sin. I am a sinner, and I am waging war all the time. There are things that I don't want to do, and sure enough, I do those things. And there are things that I want to do, and sure enough, there are things that I fail to do. He concludes in verse 24, "Wretched man that I am." He understands that I'm a sinner. I am a lawbreaker. Because he understands that, you know what? Paul doesn't want justice either. And I don't want justice when I think about it from a spiritual perspective. Maybe that ought to cause me to be humble in my life. When we think about the picture there of the church a few moments ago, and when we think about that picture, the church, we understand that there are few people attending there in comparison to the palace across the street. Isn't that the way it is in life? You know, everybody wants to demand justice for themselves in a literal sense, but nobody spending time looking to be a part of the Lord's people, the Lord's church. Oh, there's all kinds of people over there at the courthouse. You notice the picture. Wasn't anybody hanging around the church building. One is a place that offers justice. One is a place that offers grace. In Matthew chapter 7, in verses 13 and 14, we're reminded by Jesus in this particular passage of Scripture that not everyone is going to be saved. In fact, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Few. There's some prevailing idea going around today by many. It's a universalist idea that, you know, Jesus came and we're thankful that He came, and because He came, guess what? Well, we're all going to be saved. And I understand that we all need Jesus and His grace. I don't want us to forget that. When we go back to our passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 3 and we look at verses 24 and 25, it says here, "And we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith." So we need Jesus and we need His grace. I don't want justice, I want Jesus. And so there's this thought that has to be the case. I've got to want that. But there's a prevailing thought that because I believe in Jesus and because I say I want Jesus to come into my life, well, that's Jesus has come and He's died for everyone, which we know He has. And because He's died for everyone, well, everybody's good. We're all saved. We need Jesus. And we need His grace. Turn over to Romans chapter 7, though, verse 25. When we look at this passage again, we find where Paul has given the question, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And the answer is given in 25. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." This gift of grace that's been given through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." Verse 4. "In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." I need Jesus and His grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, there the passage of Scripture by Paul says this, "For our sake He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God." The righteousness of God. Through who? Through Jesus. A lot of people are looking for justice. We need to be looking for Jesus. I don't want justice. I want Jesus and His grace. Now, the second thing that we can notice or understand about our text in Romans chapter 3 is this. I need Jesus and His grace, but I also need faith. I need faith. And notice chapter 1 of Romans, verse 17. If we go to verse 16 of this passage of Scripture, you're familiar with, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And he continues, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." In chapter 3, verse 26, "It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, I want to go back to Romans 1:17, and I want us to pay attention to what he says. He says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, think about that for a moment. We've got a lot of people today in our world who accept the notion that acknowledgement of Jesus' existence and the fact that He lived on this earth and that He died for us is sufficient in order for a person to have salvation. And they call that faith. All you got to do is have faith. You know, I woke up yesterday morning at about 6 o'clock and I was laying in bed for a few moments before I had to get up and get things going, and I turned it over to the Inspiration Network and hoping to see Gunsmoke. What I got was a camp meeting of some preacher telling everybody to just believe in Jesus and accept Him into their heart, and they'll be saved. And that always drives me crazy whenever I hear that, because these folks have this idea that all you got to do is just say, you know, Jesus, I accept you and I believe in you and salvation is a guarantee. But the idea of living by faith is different than that. Did you get what he says here? He says, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean, really? That means that my faith in Jesus Christ is going to order everything that I do in my life. It's going to be the basis for how I make my decision and how I live and the things that I do and the behaviors that I have and the attitudes that come into my mind. Everything that I do is going to be ordered by my faith in Jesus. So I'm going to live that way. I don't get to live any way that I want to live. And yet there are some people that just believe that. Just have faith in Jesus that He came to this earth and He died for your sins and everything's going to be okay and just live how you want to live. No, that's not what He says. He says you've got to live by faith. By faith in who? By faith in Jesus. Everything in your life has to be ordered through that. And you've got to live it that way. Now, some people are going to say, no, well, that's working your way to heaven. No, it's not working your way to heaven. Works. Do what? They testify to your faith in Jesus. That's why James talks so much about it in James chapter 2. He says, show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith. How? By my works. See that? Just shall live what? By faith. I will show you my faith by my works. I cannot earn heaven. I don't deserve heaven. Never can. It's only through the grace of Jesus Christ that I can be saved. I need Jesus and I need His grace. But folks, I've got to have faith in Jesus Christ and I've got to live by that. In fact, I want you to take a look at something that is so interesting, and maybe we just don't pay attention to it enough. But I want us to begin at the very beginning of Romans chapter 1. Now, in Romans chapter 10, this becomes a text that people want to talk about and they want to hone in on or focus their attentions on when it comes to salvation. And I've heard a lot of folks that will say, well, all you got to do is believe and confess. If you go to Romans chapter 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe, confess Jesus, that's all you got to do. And certainly I believe that those are things that you have to do. The Scriptures record that. We're not here to argue the point that in order for a person to be right with God, they need to believe and they need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We all believe that. But that's not where it ends and that's not where it stops. And it doesn't eliminate other things that bring us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. Let's talk about how we get into Christ, how we have that contact with His blood when we are baptized into His death. Romans chapter 6. When we obey from the heart that form of doctrine, Romans 6 and 17. But I want you to notice how Paul bookends Romans. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, listen to this. Actually, let's begin in verse 4. He says, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, so He's declared to be the Son of God. Who? Jesus Christ our Lord. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name. Why did Paul say that he had been given the opportunity and the privilege, he had received grace and apostleship? What was the purpose for that? The purpose was so that he could help to bring about obedience to the faith. Obedience. His mission was to go and preach and to talk to people about Jesus Christ, but to help bring them to obedience of faith. Now turn over to Romans chapter 16, the last chapter. He opens with this in Romans chapter 1. And then you go to Romans chapter 16, and let's begin in verse 25. Paul says, now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God. What purpose? Why has all of this been revealed? To bring about the obedience of faith. Obedience. What does Paul say at the very beginning of Romans? Purpose for me being an apostle and preaching is so I can bring about obedience to the faith, so people will start obeying Jesus. What does he say at the conclusion of Romans chapter 16 when he ends his writing and his epistle to these brethren? He says, the purpose for the revelation of the gospel, the prophetic writings that have been given to all of us that we are now preaching, is for this purpose, to bring about obedience to the faith. Folks, make no mistake about it. In order to be right with God, there can't just be this good feeling about the existence of Jesus. There has to be obedience to the faith. Obedience. Paul's purpose. Why? Why in the world would he waste his time trying to bring about obedience to the faith if it doesn't matter? Well, the truth is it does. And we've got to be obedient to the message of God. Now this morning, there may be some who are not right with Jesus. I want you to understand today that all of us, there are no exceptions here. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, you deserve punishment as a spiritual lawbreaker. If justice were served on Chris Presnell, there would be consequences, spiritual consequences for my sin. I'd be lost. That's what I deserve. I don't want justice. I want Jesus and His grace. And I want to do everything in my power to live by faith in Him, obedient to His wishes. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. If you need to be obedient to Jesus Christ today, if you're not a Christian, you need to come forward and you need to, in faith, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and you need to repent of your sins and say there are things wrong in my life and I realize that I need Jesus, and you want to be baptized to wash away those sins added to the body of Christ, the church, having them taken away, then we're ready to assist you with that. It's what he says to do. It's what Paul was preaching. That's what he was trying to get people to adhere to and be obedient to, that gospel message. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then raised to walk in newness of life, living by faith. If you need that today, if you need to make some changes in your life, we're ready to assist you while together we stand and sing.